Speaking of information, I was talking to my friends at Hammer and NER just this week. They are a center where they have group homes for adults with disabilities. And so, you know, as my children are growing, I'm getting to know that they're not going to be babies forever. They're 8, 9, and 10 now and have autism. But at some point, they're going to be 18, 19, and 20. And then, you know, 48, 49, and 50. And, you know, what if God never heals Daniel? What services are out there? Where can he go and live and thrive and be in a community of people who will respect him and treat him well if something, God forbid, ever happens to me? And so I've gotten to know the folks at Hammer and NER, and I've visited their group homes where they have adults with special needs and disabilities, and how the workers and caretakers make sure that they go on field trips and they help them with their grooming, and they are actually taking a trip to New York, you know, to go hang out in front of 30 Rock. Right. And so, you know, I'm just getting to know them and the work that they do. And they said, well, you know, we've got a Disabilities Day at the Capitol coming up on the 28th. And, you know, we're going to be up there talking to legislators about, you know, legislation and funding for people with disabilities and adults, especially with special needs. And then that reminded me that I had not checked in with my friend Brian. We have not talked since face to face since we had the Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol on February 3rd. So I have invited Brian McDaniel, attorney at Hilden Advocacy and Law, to join me tonight on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Brian, I'm so glad you are back on the show with me. How you doing?
I always have time for my good friend, Shaletta. So happy to be back. And before we get into our stuff, I just want to say I have friends that work at Hammer, that work at Hammer Travel, and I was so happy to hear you talking well about them because I know they do such good work there, and I've worked with them a little bit at the Capitol as well. They are fantastic people.
They are amazing people. And, you know, like I said, I you know, my goal is to get my children healed. That's my prayer. But I have to start making preparations now. And everybody kept telling me about Hammer and NER and the work that they do. And, you know, just to see them and to see how they treat these adults with disabilities with respect and care and courtesy. Because, you know, this is the thing, Brian. We talk now, we say, oh, well, one in, you know, 49 kids have autism. Well, guess what? At some point, they're going to be one in 49 adults. Yep. And somebody has to be out there looking after their well-being. Because as parents and caretakers of children with special needs, we're not going to be around forever. And so I just wanted to put a system in place so that my kids could have somewhere to thrive as adults. And after I visited them, that was it. I was like, well, you know, I'm going to start volunteering there. I just want to be a part of the work that they're doing. So I'm going to be with them when they have the Disabilities Day at the Capitol. And like I said, that just reminded me what is going on at the Capitol, because I ain't going to go until this Disability Day. But I need to find out what's happening. You know, you see so much legislation going on. You see bills being signed. You see folks smiling and happy as they sign them, and folks on social media mad because they did. You know, I saw they're trying to make sure the kids get fed for lunch. And, you know, somebody come out saying he never met a hungry person in Minnesota. I said, hell, he should have came to my house. I'm in Cottage Grove starving like a mad woman because I'm on a diet. How's he going to say he never met a hungry person in Minnesota? Of course, that story went viral. So what is going on right now over at the Capitol?
Well, that was Senator Steve Drazkowski, who, that is a very curious comment. It struck us all as a little odd when he said it. But the Universal School Meals Bill that you just referenced did pass, which is going to guarantee every kid in the state of Minnesota at least two meals. And you know, I worked on that. I was very proud to with my friends at the American Heart Association. We were very supportive of that and very happy to see it pass. Now, there are always, as we've talked time and time again, there are always two sides to every story. So while it might be a little out of bounds to say that someone has never met a hungry kid, that obviously isn't true. But the legislation does pay for rich kids to eat, as well as, you know, kids that are less advantaged. And, you know, when you are trying to be a good steward of the state of Minnesota's money, you want to say, well, you know, do we need to be feeding, you know, a kid from Edina? You know, but you know what? But it's about priorities. And this was something that Governor Tim Walz had as a very high priority last year and this year. Last year, it didn't quite make it across the finish line, but this year it was something that that they were going to make sure got passed, and they passed it. He signed it this week, and it's exciting. That's for sure. Lots going on. Yeah. Not just that. Not just that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, every time I turn around, there is a news release coming out. There is some information that they're putting out there. What else is happening at the Capitol that's caught your eye, caught your ear, got your attention?
Well, early on, there were a lot of, you know, high-profile agenda items that that the Democrats had on their list that they were going to try to make sure to do. There's, you know, stuff about reproductive rights, and they were moving early on, you know, paid family leave and other things like that. But now we are in the part of the session where they're focused on the budget bills. So, you know, everyone knows that we have a huge historic, you know, budget surplus in the state of Minnesota. So people are putting together their budget bills, both, you know, for education and for health and human services and, you know, public safety and, you know, everything in between. And that is a very long, arduous process. It's not as fun as passing, you know, universal school meals. It, you know, it's not going to get, you know, a lot of fanfare because it's, you know, sometimes it's big dollar amounts, sometimes it's small dollar amounts, but it's the nitty gritty. It's the business of government. And that's really, you know, what we're dealing with right now, and we're probably going to be dealing with this probably for the next month, and then we start getting budget bills, and then we start arguing about what's in them.
Yeah, and speaking of arguing, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of arguing and fighting going on right now locally. It seems like everybody's playing nice. Is that the case? Are you getting that sense being there in the thick of things?
Well, I mean, what is different now is that the Democrats are in control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. That means that the Republicans have, you know, they have a say, but ultimately there's not much that they can stop. If every Democrat wants to pass something, with most things, they can do that. Now, something that isn't that way is the capital investment bill. Capital investment bill is the bill where the state borrows money for large infrastructure projects, so roads and bridges, big things like that. And because that puts the state of Minnesota in debt, you know, not in debt, we have a huge surplus, but because they're borrowing the money, that means that you have to have, under the Constitution, two-thirds of the legislature to agree to it, which means the Republicans have the ability to stop a few things. So the House Capital Investment Chair, Fu Lee, along with the Republican lead, Dean Erdahl, they were able to negotiate a package that got 91 votes in the House of Representatives. That was Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing amount of bipartisanship. However, you need the House and the Senate. And right now, Republican senators are saying no, because they are, you know, using what little leverage they have. They don't have much, but they have some, to say, well, we will give you your capital investment bill, but in exchange for that, we want the Social Security benefits to not be taxed in the state of Minnesota anymore. That's also bipartisan. So I would say that's kind of the spiciest thing that's going on at the legislature presently.
All right, now we got to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, the state of Minnesota was rocked when we heard the news that Senate Majority Leader Carrie Dietzick was battling cancer. It came as a surprise to me, too. She kept this very close to the vest and did not share this information with a lot of people outside of her immediate circle. I have talked to her since then. She has a message that she wants me to share with the listeners. And I'm going to ask Brian, what does that do for the Senate? You know, how are they going to replace her leadership? Is someone stepping in to take that role in that position? I need to figure out the logistics of this after I give you the message that my friend Kerry Dietzick gave me to give to you when we come back. It is 8:21. You are listening to Still Talking on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I don't know about anyone else, but I was shocked and had to take a seat and a pause from life when I heard the news that my friend Kerry Dietzick was battling cancer. She has been diligently working and doing an amazing job as a Senate Minority Leader and community servant. I first met this woman, when my son Andrew was 10 years old. So 6 years ago, he wrote an op-ed right after Philando Castile died and said that, he wanted to know if anyone could pass a bill to fund autism officer training. And the op-ed was actually a letter to the governor at the time. We weren't even addressing Kerry Dietzick, but she responded and invited my son to the Capitol and talked to him about the concerns that he had for his two younger brothers, who at the time were both nonverbal. And I just remember Andrew telling her, what if the police say stop or I'll shoot and my brothers don't understand and they keep walking? Will they be shot and killed? And so she worked to fund autism officer training. And this woman, when Dr. Verna Price, who you heard in the last hour, when her Girls in Action program needed additional funds for a summer camp, we had a bowling tournament. And she showed up to bowl and to donate and to encourage those young girls who are getting ready to go off to college. And when I had my Entrepreneur's Day at the Capitol, she made sure that the governor was there, the lieutenant governor was there. She worked to make sure that we had legislators lined up to talk to small black business owners to hear the concerns that they had about their unique needs and how we wanted to make sure part of that budget surplus came to us. Now, this same woman needs our prayers. And I said, listen, KD, I'm going on the radio and folks are going to want to know how you're doing and what you're doing and where things stand. And we all read the paper story, but, you know, that's somebody else writing. How are you doing? And she said, you know, they're keeping me busy. Prayers appreciated. Doing lots of PT and OT with the doctors. And then she said, Shaletta, please tell everyone that's listening to your show to get their wellness checkups, their pap smears, their breast exams, their colonoscopy, their proctal exams. All can save lives. Remind everyone to get their checkups. I promised her I would do that. And when she told me that, I immediately made an appointment for my own colonoscopy that I hadn't done just because I'm stupid and don't want to do the prep work, Brian. That's really what it is. They were like, oh, you got to drink this nasty stuff. Oh, my God, it's so horrible. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to drink this nasty stuff. Well, you know what? It's either drink the nasty stuff and get checked or die. You know, drinking the nasty stuff is not going to last forever. You can't come back. This is not a video game. And so I just appreciated her telling us that, Brian.
Well, I can tell you, as a man, I'm a man of a certain age, so I've had to drink the nasty stuff twice now. And yeah, it's one really bad day, but it might save you from a lot more worse days down the road. I don't want to disappoint everybody who thinks that everybody at the legislature, all the Republicans and all the Democrats and all the Reds and all the Blues hate each other. We really don't. And I can tell you that Kerry Dietzick is absolutely one of the most respected people up at the Capitol, both with Republicans and Democrats. And when she was named leader of the DFL Senate, there were a lot of people that saw that as a real good sign that the Senate wasn't going to be going, you know, too far one way or the other. Because if there's one thing that Carrie Dietzick is steady.
Yeah.
And when we all found out about her, you know, illness and surgery, there wasn't one person that was cracking a smile. Everybody was very concerned about her. Everybody wishes her nothing but the best. We're hearing good things. But to answer your initial question was, who's going to fill that gap? I think Carrie is going to fill that gap because, you know, she has remained present at the Capitol. She has very able lieutenants that if there is a bill that is under her name and needs her, you know, your direction, that it will get done. So, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, the Minnesota Senate is controlled by the Democrats, but by one vote.
That's the thing that got me. I was looking at those numbers. I carried the one and I was like, okay, what does this mean, Brian?
Well, the same week that that leader Dietzick had her surgery, Republican Senator Tori Westrum was injured in a snowmobile accident. I think that one thing, you know, here's the thing. Politics is politics is politics. It all gets worked out at the end. But, you know, the people that work up there, they're flesh and blood people. And, you know, tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us.
No. Tomorrow in the next couple minutes. How about that?
Yeah, no doubt. So, you know, it certainly probably slows down a few things. But I can tell you, this legislature has been going at a full sprint since the first week of January. And, you know, they probably could use a little bit of pacing
themselves.
Yeah, because
I'm going to tell you, I thought a couple of those news releases were double things. But, I mean, it's like every 5 minutes I'm getting whiplash. And I'm glad, don't get me wrong, I'm glad and happy that my elected officials are working for me. The last thing you want to feel like as a voter and as a community servant is that your elected leaders are sitting there twiddling their thumbs or, you know, going to lunch or golfing and hanging out and not doing the work of the people. And I'm going to tell you, they doing the work of 10 people up there, because every time I turn around, they're signing something or doing something or legislating something. It's just amazing to watch.
Well, remember, a lot of that stuff that you see on TV is just on TV. I can promise you that there's nobody up there, Republican or Democrat, that gets to leave that building for lunch, because there is too much going on. And, you know, the Democrats have a very ambitious agenda, and they are checking off the boxes as they go down that list. And, you know, if you are from, you know, the more conservative side of things, I can tell you that the Republicans are fighting like heck to try to keep them honest on it.
Well, I tell you what, it is fun watching from the sidelines, watching our system work, our political system work. And I just appreciate you giving me a perspective on all of it. Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law. Have a great night, a great week, and thank you for being on Steel Talking.
All right. I will talk to you very soon and see you on the 28th.
All right. Talk soon and see you for Disability Services Day at the State Capitol on the 28th of this month.